Welcome to Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to the series Arise Shine. Now with the word, here's Beverly.
It's wonderful. I can't help but just remember this little story that the work that the Lord did in me at one time. I remember hearing a sermon preached about Jesus sending his disciples into the city of Bethphage or whatever, and said, go and find a colt that has never been ridden. You'll find there a man, and he'll have a colt that has never been ridden, and you tell him the master wants it, and just bring it to me. And three chapters later in Mark chapter 14, he sent his another two disciples into the city and said, go into the city and you will see a man carrying a water pot. Follow him to his house, and when you get to his house, tell him the master has need of your room to prepare the feast. And so they did exactly as Jesus said, and they found the man and they found the room, and the man let him have the room. And you know, so often we've heard that those two stories preached about the disciples just doing what Jesus told him to do. But this preacher this night turned it around and said, you know, how much better to be the man with the colt that had never been ridden, or to be the man with the water pot on his shoulder, able to give the room to Jesus and his disciples. And he said, I made a commitment that night, as I did that night. And I said, Lord, your word says it's better to give than it is to receive. So Lord, let me be the one that is going to meet the needs of others. Let me be the man with the colt. Let me be the man with the water pot. Because you said, Lord, you're going to bless those who bless the blessed. I mean, that's quite a big thing. He's going to bless us. So when I heard that, I had like a paradigm shift that took place in my spirit. Something just turned upside down and inside out. And instead of always looking for my needs to be met, I said, Lord, make me so alert and so in tune with the needs of people around about me, so that I can be the one, if in any way I can meet that need, let me meet that need. And so I got back from that meeting, and we went up to Midland, in fact, and we're doing a meeting in Midland, and on TV there, and during the invitation time, the Spirit of God said to me, he said, I want you to give away your purse. Now, it was a very nice purse somebody had given me. It was Juni and Burke purse, which the ladies will know, but the men don't know what it is. But, you know, it's those purses that cost $200 or $300, you know. I mean, they just cost an arm and a leg, and all it is a purse that we leave lying around, you know, on the floor all the time. And so the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to give away your Juni and Burke purse. And I said, all right, Lord, just tell me who it is I'm supposed to give it to. So I'm going down the line, and I'm ministering to all these people. And as I come to this lady, he said, this is the lady right here. So I said, well, just hang on, you know. And off I rush, and I empty, you know, my purse is like our mini desk. You know, we've got everything valuable in our purse. That's why it's so heavy. That's why half of our shoulders are like this, you know, when we walk. So I emptied the lot out onto the floor. I just emptied into a pile on the floor. And the Lord said, I had a little vial of perfume. He said, leave your perfume in there, and leave whatever money you've got, leave it in the purse. So I took an empty purse except for those two things. I went back to the lady and I said, I'd never seen her before, didn't know who she was, didn't know where she came from. And I said, the Lord wants you to have this purse because he's going to fill it with good things for you. And I just gave her the purse, and I went down the line just praying for the next lot, and just down the line. I didn't know if I'd ever see her again. The next night, she came to the service. She didn't come the next night. And then the following night, she came. And she said, you know, I have to tell you a story. She said, last night, I didn't come to church, but I sat at home and I watched you on TV. And she said, I happened to be speaking at the time, and I gave an invitation for people to come to Jesus to be saved. And she said, my son was sitting watching TV with me, 17 years old, and he prayed that prayer with you that night. And she came back the next day. She said, I just want to tell you, God has so blessed me. Well, on the Saturday morning, I went off to speak at a ladies' breakfast deal. And before I even walked into the meeting, a woman came up to me and gave me a sack. And in the sack was a big bottle of perfume. Big bottle of perfume. Elizabeth Taylor something, a white diamond perfume. And another woman, I mean, they didn't know the story. Another woman came to me and gave me another big sack. And when I opened the sack, I just yelled. because there was another Dunienberg purse in that sack. I mean, that's just God. Now, you know, when you give, when you sow, He gives back always more than what you give. Because you see, what farmer plants one seed and only gets one seed back? When he plants one little grain of corn, if you like, one little seed of corn, he gets, I don't know how many hundreds of corn, little seeds back. So when you sow, and if you put it into good soil, I'm telling you, expect a harvest. And don't be slothful harvesters. I'm telling you, if you leave your harvest too long on the ground, it rots. So every day, I'm out there walking, and I'm saying, Lord, I call in the harvest. I send out prosperity angels to harvest all that I've given and sown into the kingdom. I call in the harvest from the north, the south, the east, and the west. You know, we've been taught in the church to just give and don't expect anything in return. Well, I don't know where that came from, because it certainly didn't come from the Bible. There's no way you will find that in the Bible. In fact, the Bible talks about sowing seed into good soil, and what does it say you're going to get? 30, 60, 100-fold. In fact, the Bible says it's a slothful servant who doesn't harvest in the summertime. Now, I know I'm putting a paradigm shift into some of you. I can see your little minds going on, little click, 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 click. That's not what I've been taught. Well, I'm just putting some new truth in it, and it's truth. Go study the Word for yourself. I'm telling you, I'm talking the truth. We've been taught in the church, so much of us, and I was included. I was taught so much hogwash. I mean, rubbish concerning money. God wants us to have all of our needs met according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Not so that we can just become fat cats, but so that we've got more to give and to bless. And I'm telling you, everything that comes into our ministry, it just goes straight out. We're sowing seed all the time. Those of you who are new and don't know that, there's up at the back, there's a tape table or some tape. But there's also a seed-to-seed list, which is a tape of the month we send out every month. We don't charge for it. We just give it away. We send out about between 800 and 900 tapes every month, free of charge, all over this country. In South Africa, we send out over 1,000 tapes, the same way, all over the country. It's free. It's our seed to the seed of Christ, which is you. And so, you know, that's our blessing to give. And we support ministries and missionaries all across the earth. So it's just exciting. It's just exciting. If the Lord tells you to sow back into our ministry, I want you to know we it just keeps going out. Wherever we go, it just keeps going out. So the Lord's so good. I'm excited about tonight. You know why I'm excited about tonight? Because the Spirit and the Bride say, come. I'm telling you, the Spirit has been saying, come, even so, come, Lord Jesus. It's time for the Bride to say, come. And we're His Bride. We are His Bride. Now, I know some of you men are having, you know, gymnastics going on in your mind because you've never been a bride. Well, I just want to tell you, the Church of Jesus Christ is the Bride of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5. Song of Solomon all the way through it. There's a parallel all the way through the scripture. Jesus talks about He's one day coming back for the Bride of Christ. And if you've invited Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life, you're His Bride. You are His Bride. And He's coming back for that wonderful feast, the marriage feast of the Lamb, where we will be caught up together with Him in the air, and we will be like Him. But we are His Bride, and He's clothing His Bride with glory and with gold. I was just reading this afternoon in Psalm 45. It's a wonderful psalm about the glory and the gold. Wonderful psalm of the glory and the gold. And you just read in there, it says that He clothes His Bride with gold. He clothes His Bride with gold. She stands before the King in raiment of gold. And I am not one bit surprised that He's pouring out gold, a manifestation. And I just declare that right now, that all through the service tonight, even as I'm preaching, gold is going to start appearing on your hands. Because you talk about the gold, and you talk about the glory, and it starts to come. So if you've got your Bibles, let's turn and let's read a few verses from the Song of Solomon. Now I bet you haven't, well, I'm not a betting woman, but you know, I guess many of you haven't read Song of Solomon for a long time. But the Song of Solomon, I believe, is a book that is going to be restored in the last days. Because he's getting ready, he's preparing his bride for the last days, for the coming of the Lord Jesus. And the Song of Solomon is a song that Solomon and his bride sang. It's a duet. He sang, she sang, they sang together. And the bride sings, and the bridegroom sings, and they sing over each other. And they just exalt each other and exhort each other and speak words of love and endearment over each other. It's just a duet and a song of praise. It's a love song. It's a song of passion. I'm telling you. You know, if you're married tonight, you need to read the Song of Solomon. And just learn how Solomon spoke about his wife. How his wife spoke about her husband. My love, my dove, my fair one. You need to try that. I'm telling you. You'll get a new dress faster than blinking. Your husband will like it. But you know, it's just wonderful words of love that they speak over each other. It's a song of love and desire and passion. And when you read the Song of Solomon, you've got to understand this, that the church, which is us, is the bride. And that he is the bridegroom. And that when he sings this over us, when he sings these words, he's really singing them over us. You know, I always heard that Song of Solomon chapter 2 says, I'm the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. We always said that about Jesus. But you know what? That is actually the bride singing that over herself. She says, I am the lily of the valley. I am the rose of Sharon. And the bridegroom agrees with her. It's amazing. You know, if your Bible is kind of the these and the thou one, get one of those that is like normal reading ones, you know, that we can understand in 20th day language. And I don't mean to, you know, I mean, the Bible is wonderful, but the these and the thous, if you don't understand it, get something you can understand. It's not more holy to read it. I mean, my Bible is a holy Bible just like it is, and it doesn't have these and thous in. But I've read the Song of Solomon in every single version that I can get hold of. I've read it in the Living Bible, in the Amplified Bible, in the New King James Bible, in it all, because I want to understand what the King is saying over me. And you see, if he is speaking that over me, that means that's what I'm going to become. I'm going to become what he says over me. And that's good news. Oh, yes. What are you laughing about? It's good. Hey, there's glory. It's wonderful. It's truth that is setting us free inside. Larry's getting it there. Just blowing in. It's wonderful. Song of Solomon. It's after Psalms, Proverbs, and Song of Solomon. Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Chapter 1 and verse 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Now I want you to know that he loves to kiss his bride. He loves to come and kiss his bride. You know, my husband just came home this afternoon, and the reason why he isn't here, he was all dressed, ready to come, and we went to the motel room, and he fell asleep on the bed. He'd been traveling for 24 hours. He flew for 24 hours to get back this afternoon, and he was wiped out in the bed, and I just said to him, roll over and just go to sleep, so that's why he's not here. But he will be here tomorrow, I promise you. But you know what? When I saw him at the airport, the first thing I did, I couldn't find a parking place. I just went right up. I promise you, I'm not even lying. I went right up on the pavement. I just popped the car on the pavement, jumped out the car, and gave him a big smooch. Big kiss. I was so happy to see him. He said, you can't park here. I said, I know, but I just wanted to kiss you first. And then I reversed back and I found a parking place. I know I've got blonde hair, but I really did do that. And so, you know, but he wants to come and kiss us with the kisses of his mouth. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what are the kisses of your mouth? I mean, that is so like airy fairy stuff out there. And so I asked him, and he told me about 5 kisses that he has for his bride. And here's the first he told me. First of all, he said to me, now this is just, I mean, all of us have kissed somebody in our life, even if it's only our mother, okay? We've all kissed somebody, isn't that true? If you're going to kiss somebody, this is so basic, but you've got to see it's very deep truth. When you kiss somebody, you can't be talking and kissing at the same time. Otherwise, they're going to kiss your teeth. Do you understand what I'm saying? There comes a time when you get into the presence of the Lord when you just need to be quiet. When you know when the stillness is, when it just stillness hovered over this place, even tonight, that's when He just wants to come and just reveal His love to you. Put His arms around. So often we get into His presence and all we do is talk. Well, Lord, I've got, here's my prayer list. You know, were you ever taught to make intercession, confession, you know, these are all my needs, Lord. Go through all my family. As if He doesn't know them. God's memory is so good. And I want to tell you, if you told Him yesterday, He remembered it today. You don't have to tell Him every day for Him to know what you want. But there are times when you get into His presence and you just need to be quiet. And let Him come and kiss you with His presence. Just like He did tonight. Just put His arms around you. The second thing is, when you want to kiss somebody, you can't turn your back on them. You've got to be face to face. And that's why so often through this last 5 days, the word of the Lord has come out and it said, turn your face towards me. Hasn't that happened so many times? Like, turn your face. Don't hang your head down. Turn up your face towards Him. Let His glory shine full in your face. You know that little chorus we used to sing? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. You've got to turn your face towards Him. In fact, the Word says, they that worship Me must worship Me in spirit and in truth. I want to tell you something. He knows everything about you. He knows exactly what you put down on your IRS form. He knows exactly if you crooked on this or that or the next thing. He knows every thought that you've had, and so you may as well just get honest about it. And turn your face before Him and let Him love you, because He loves you. He died for all of your sin, and He wants to wash it away and cover it. So you don't have to hide from Him. There's nothing that you have to hide from. Everything in your past, He knows about. He knows about. You don't have to hide from Him. So that's the first thing about kissing. But listen to the... And also He said there's to be no veil between. Just no veil. Let it all take off the mask. Let it all hang out. The first kind of kiss that He told me about, it was the kiss of possession. And I told you about this last night when He kissed me with salvation. And if you are His child tonight, there was a time when He came and revealed the love of the Father to you. And He kissed you and revealed salvation to you. And He made you His. It was a kiss of possession. There was the kiss of the Holy Ghost, the kiss of baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that happened to me, it was amazing, about 18 years ago. John had been praying and fasting and waiting on God in a trailer home outside East London, is the town that I was brought up, born and raised in. And we'd moved and we'd sold everything, and I can't remember if I told you the story or not, but the Lord had told us to leave Zimbabwe. We were pastoring a church in Zimbabwe. And He told us to sell everything we have, give it all away. A Marxist government had come into the country and taken over control of the country. And He told us to leave. We weren't allowed to bring out our money. In fact, you were allowed to bring out $1,000 per family out of the country. And so He had told us that we were going to leave the country, and we were going to go on an Abrahamic journey, just like Abram and Sarah. And so I sold everything. I gave everything away. We left with a couple of boxes and an old car. And we moved down to East London to stay with my parents in East London. And I packed a few boxes of just like sheets and a few towels, because I thought, well, somewhere along the line, I'm going to have to, start another home somewhere. I had my favorite potato peeler and my favorite kitchen knife and just a few things that I could put in a box. And I just said, well, Lord, everything else is Yours. And so John had gone away, and for a month was praying and fasting in a motorhome. And God met him in a supernatural way. And one Thursday night, he came back in town. And understand, I grew up Baptist. And so we didn't believe in speaking in tongues. Those were for the Assemblies of God people down the road. That wasn't for us, you know. And so because we were people of the Word, you know, we didn't do that stuff. And so, but there was always a fascination, you know, in my heart. Because I thought, Lord, if this is a gift from You, then I want it. And I remember that Thursday night, John came in, and God had so filled him and so absolutely flooded him and given him a new language. And he was absolutely, I mean, when John opened his mouth to pray, it wasn't just prayers. It was something that flowed like a river out of his innermost being. And he came in that night and he said, Beverly, let's go for a drive around the beach. So I put the kids to bed and my mom and dad's home, and we went for a drive around the beach. And he said, you know, the Lord just told me that what I've got to give to you. And he prayed for me simply. Lord, I just ask you to come and fill Beverly with your Holy Spirit and just bless her with all of your gifts. Just like that. I mean, no big deal. I mean, it wasn't like a shiver and a shake stuff. We didn't know any of that stuff, you know. And I was just sitting in the car and I said, yes, Lord, I receive it. And out of my belly flowed a language that I'd never heard. Now, John had three words like this much, you know, and I had a language. And then I've got a few languages, but he had this much. And for 6 months, that's all he said was this much. And some of you, I mean, especially men and especially people who have got rational minds, they've got to process everything, you know, process it all. And the Lord just said to him, I like it. I like it. And so John said, well, Lord, if you like those three words, I'm just going to keep saying them to you until you get so tired of them, you give me some more. And so I'm telling you, it was just, it began an incredible change in our lives. The kiss of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There was the kiss of grace. Psalm 45 and verse 2 says, your lips, you are fairer than the sons of men, and grace is upon your lips. In other words, some translations say, your lips are wet with grace. I spoke a lot about grace last night, that you can't work for it, you can't deserve it. Grace is favor. It's God just pouring out his favor on you. Undeserved favor. Pastor Kathy spoke about favor rights. And some of you weren't here on Sunday morning when I told you how God has Hittites and Perizzites and Ishmaelites and all the different arts. And we are now his favorites. Because he has placed his favor upon us. We're his favorite children. We are his favorites. And so he's placed that grace. Every time you see the word grace in the Bible, you've got to know it's God's undeserved favor freely lavished upon us, his bride. Given freely, 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 freely. You can't work for it. You can't do enough to get it. You can't pay enough money. You can't witness and win enough people to Jesus. You just got to receive it. It's all there for you. It's his kiss of grace. Then there's a kiss of revelation. You know, when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden the Word of God absolutely came alive to me. The Word was just jumping off of the page. I've never been to Bible school. I've never been to seminary. My husband has. He knows the Greek and the Hebrew and all that other stuff. But I haven't. So everything that I've learned, I've had to learn either from my husband or a preacher or straight from the Holy Spirit. And so here just he comes with that revelation. How many of you know those times when you're just lying in your bed thinking about something and all of a sudden a verse of scripture comes alive to you? He's kissed you with revelation. It's wonderful. There's the kiss of worship, which is what we did tonight. In fact, one of the words for worship is to kiss towards. Did you know that? One of the Hebrew words, when you literally translate it, means to kiss towards. I know some people, you know, I live in Dallas-Fort Worth area, and there are times that I'm driving my car and I'll stop at the road, a stoplight, and I'll just blow the Lord a kiss. And I just turn my face to him and go, and anybody looking, they think, who is she talking to? Should she be driving a car? I'm not sure. But you know, just the worship that rises up within me, and I just love him so much. The kiss of worship. I just get to lie on the floor in my den and I just worship him. I mean, it may not be for very long. Sometimes I've got longer than other times. But I'm just before him and I'm saying, I'm not even praying. I'm just loving him. My heart, I just feel this a crescendo of love that comes up within me towards him. And I feel him just bathing me with his love. But you know what? All of that takes a little bit of time. It doesn't just happen like 5 minutes before I've got to get out of bed, or sometimes takes a little bit of time to do that. And sometimes we've got to turn the TV off and we've got to put off the magazine and we've got to close the book and we've got to not go to the movie, or we've got to decide, you know what, I'm just going to go, instead of watching the ball game on Monday night, now that was a bit below the belt, wasn't it? Well, instead of watching, let's say, some whatever, 2020, I'm just going to go and close my door in my bedroom, and I'm just going to get before the Lord. You see, every one of us are His bride. And as a bride, I know what it's like to be a bride. I mean, I know 26 years ago when I married my husband, and I walked down, if I had just gone in there and just got so taken up with everything else, but didn't ever look John in the face, and didn't ever just love him, and just didn't ever want to love him, he'd think he'd married a strange woman. See, but I love him. It's not all about his home and his food and everything else. It's about him. And I want to tell you, this is a word that's got to be spoken in this day and age. We get so busy in the church, doing this, doing that. So many people's needs, we just, especially pastors, I mean, we can be running ourselves ragged every single day with people's needs. And we neglect the most wonderful thing of just loving Him. And the purpose for our very existence is to love Him and for us to receive His love. Well, did we ever read Song of Solomon? We haven't yet read it. Okay, well, just let's see. I read the second verse. Let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth, for Your love is better than wine. Verse 3, because the fragrance of Your good ointment, Your name is ointment poured forth. I want to tell you, therefore the virgins love You. Draw me away. The Lord is pouring out the ointment of His Holy Spirit in these days. You know, when the Spirit of God comes on you and He lays you on the floor, lie on the floor. Let Him minister to you His love. Let Him speak to you. Let Him kiss you with the kisses of His mouth. Let Him just come and love you. Let Him do some deep work within you. When I first saw this taking place, it was in a Rodney Howard Brown meeting in Florida. And, I mean, people were just, I'd never seen this before in my whole life. You know, remember, I'm kind of Baptist and conservative and an English lady and all that stuff. And so, I mean, to see people rolling around on the floor and lying on the floor for hours and then laughing and doing all this stuff, and I thought, oh my goodness, what are they doing? I mean, I'm losing all my dignity. Now this is just, I mean, well, thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, I needed to lose some dignity. We get so prim and proper, you know. And it's like, and I just looked at this and I thought, oh, my heart was so hungry for God. But I wasn't too sure I wanted to be like that. And at the end of the one service, the hunger in me just grew and grew and grew. And eventually, you know, he was praying for everybody. And when Rodney prays for people, he just goes, filled, 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 filled. I mean, he doesn't talk to anybody. He doesn't even look you in the eyes. He just goes down the line like this, as fast as he can walk. And so, I mean, I was out there somewhere back in the Hamadullahs, you know, right who knows where, in some little old corridor somewhere. And he was coming down the line. And my heart was like this, oh God, I want You to touch me. Touch me, Father. Do such a deep work within me that's not in my mind, but that's so deep within me that I'll never, ever recover. And I'll never be the same again. And when the fire of God hit me that night, I landed on the floor and I lay there for must be 45 minutes. I couldn't move. I just lay. I said, Spirit of God, do such a deep work within me. And I will never forget what He did. He did it then and He's done it since. But it was almost like there was a fire that was burning in my belly. And on top of that fire was a bowl of gold. And as He was just, the fire was burning, all the little bits of impurities that were in the gold were coming to the surface. And the Holy Spirit was just taking a scoop, a big spoon, and just like this, taking off the dirt, taking off the dross. And another one would pop to the surface and He'd take it off. And it was like these sins, these hidden things of my heart that were hidden deep within me, that it would just come to my conscious mind and I'd say, oh God, forgive me. And He'd cleanse me. And at one point they were coming so fast to my surface of my mind, I said, Lord, hold on, it's too fast, I can't say forgive me. But before I even could do that, He was just scooping them away. Just scooping them away. And you know, to this day, I couldn't tell you what they even were, because He took them away from me. except for two things that he said, I need to talk to my husband about, which I did that night. But I remember after 45 minutes of lying on the floor and allowing the fire of God to burn in the gold of my life, I want to tell you that something changed within me. I was changed. Something different happened within my spirit. I was changed. I was forever changed. And so it's such a wonderful thing. Every time he gave the invitation, every meeting that I ever go to, even when John is preaching, I'm telling you, I go and minister to people, but then I just go, want to go lie on the floor and just yield to the anointing, because every time I do, I get changed a little bit more. He's changing us from one degree of glory into another degree of glory. He's purifying that gold. Peter says that gold that is more precious, your faith which is more precious than gold, is being purified by the fire that burns within us. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. He's pouring out his anointing upon his bride. Song of Solomon, verse 3 says, your name is as ointment poured out. You know, and I thought of this, and I thought of, you remember in the book of Esther, you remember the story of Esther, and they would take these young virgins, and before they brought them into the king, for a whole year they would be prepared. 6 months with myrrh and 6 months with ointments. And the myrrh, I did a little study on myrrh one time, and I found this out about myrrh. It's a little tree, just a little bush, and not a very big tree, but it has a very sticky sap that comes out of the bark of that myrrh tree. It's very valuable. It's a sticky gum. And they would take this gum and they'd rub it on the skins of the virgins, of these young girls, and it would take all the dead skin. Kind of what we ladies do. You know, some of us ladies do. Do you ever do this where you kind of put that stuff on your face too? Exfoliate. I don't know how to say it, but I do it. Okay. 3 or 4 times a week, they recommend that you do this with your skin, you know, and exfoliate all these dead cells off you. Or you take you know, these men are looking at, they do what? Well, yes, this is how your wife stays beautiful. I'm giving away some of her secrets. Or, you know, where the back of your heels get all rough in summer. Well, perhaps you don't do that. You didn't know you were having a beauty lesson tonight, did you? And you take that little rasp and you just file away at that old dead skin. You take all the old dead skin off, you see. And they would use this myrrh and they'd rub it all over their body so that the beauty of the youthfulness of the skin would come out again. And you know, the Lord just spoke to me and he said, that's exactly what I'm doing to my bride. I'm taking away the flesh, the dead, the old, and I'm bringing out the new. And you know what? If you want to get rid of wrinkles on your face, that's how you do it. He's taking away the wrinkles, the creases, the blemishes. And he's bringing out the new. But it's by yielding to that wonderful anointing of his Holy Spirit. Romans 12 verse 1 and 2. Paul says this. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto him, which is your reasonable service, your acceptable service. The next thing that song the bride says to the bridegroom in verse 4, she says, draw me after you, draw me away, and we will run after you. For the king has brought me into his chambers, and we will be glad and rejoice in you. We will remember your love more than wine. Turn over in chapter 2 and verse 10. The bride is saying to the bridegroom, and I shared a little bit about this either last night or the night before, where he wants to spend every part of his day with you. When you get up in the morning, when you go to your used car lot, when you go to your office, when you go to your classroom, you've got to know that it's Christ within me. I am his body. He is my head. And I've got to wear my coat. Remember we learned that last night. Wherever I go, I put on my coat. And I wear whatever he's given me to wear in honor of him. And I take what I have and I just move. Because he's the head, I'm the body. I take him into the classroom. I take him onto the football field. I take him into the shop or the store, wherever you go, whatever makes up your day. I take him. I represent him. The Bible tells me, Paul says, you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. It's the price of the Lord Jesus. And see, he's bought you and you belong to him. You're his. You're his. He's the head, and you're just the body. And so He wants to run His day with you all through the day. Verse 10 of chapter 2, Song of Solomon. I love this. The bridegroom says this. My beloved spoke to me and said, rise up, this is the bridegroom, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. I mean, I'm telling you, if you've forgotten those little sweet words you used to speak over your wife, you need to go read this book again. My love, my fair one, my dove, my darling, you know, all these. Some of you guys, you know, really. Some of you girls need to go and get yourself a read here too. Oh, Lord, help me. Okay. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone, and the flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come. The voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. You know what? I know. Every time I know it's dove season now, isn't it? Isn't it just about dove season? Oh, look at these guys. That's good. You're not. Some of them are sleeping. It's all right. But you know what? Every time I see a dove, I just can't help but think, Lord, this is the sound of the turtle dove that is singing. It's the wooing of the turtle dove that has been singing in the land all over again. He is wooing His bride by the song of the turtle dove. He's singing. He's singing. Every time I hear a dove cooing, I think, Lord, that's the sound of the wooing of the Spirit over the bride of Christ. Now, I know some of you think I'm a little crazy, but I'm telling you, if you've got eyes to see, you will see. And if you've got ears to hear, you will hear. And the Word says, to the pure, everything is pure. And if you've got eyes to see, you will see Him in everything. And so He's saying that the sound of the singing of the turtle dove is again heard in the land. Verse 13. The fig trees put forth her green figs. The vines with tender grapes give a good sweet smell. Rise up, my love and my fair one, and come away. O my dove, in the cleft of the rock, in the secret place of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. You know, I grew up in South Africa. That's why I speak a little differently. And we speak two languages in South Africa. They speak many more now. But before the apartheid was abolished and before the government that is now in power was in power, we spoke, there were two official languages, and that was English and Afrikaans. And Afrikaans is a Dutch and German, of Dutch and German derivative. And so it's a very guttural, I mean, I can understand a lot of Dutch just because Afrikaans sounds very Dutch. And usually Dutchmen can understand a lot of what I would say in Afrikaans. And all through school, everybody learned English and Afrikaans. We were a bilingual country. And the Afrikaans had a very good, very expressive word for necking. Do you remember when you used to neck? Lord, help me. Father, just help me to be so sweet about this. But anyway, you know, you know what necking is? You know when you used to go and park your car when you were dating and, you know, and you'd pop a peppermint in each other's mouth? Did you ever do that? You never did that. Okay. Or you just nibble on each other's ears. Did you ever do that? Oh, Lord, you know, I don't even want to look at your faces because some of you think I'm crazy. Well, I might just want to tell you, my husband and I, before we were married, even and after, and you know what, even we will neck, and we. But they had this word called kafufel. And doesn't that sound like a kafufel? It sounds like a necking, you know, it's like. So if you were just like, look, all the young people are listening to me. You see, I'm giving you some good ideas here. We would go and, like, after, you know, you go to the Whataburger or you go to the Dairy Queen or something, and we'd go and we'd park down at the beach and we'd go and kafufel a little bit, just neck a little bit, kiss a little bit, you know, hold hands, and just real innocent stuff, but, you know, just neck a little bit. So you'd go kafufel. Well, that's exactly what this word, this verse is talking about here. Did you know that? Look at this. It says, let me go take you to the cleft of the rock. Let me find a secret place where I might just hear your voice and see your form. This is the bridegroom talking about the bride. And he's saying, I love you. I just want to be with you. I want to be one and one just with you. I love you. You see, although he's a corporate God and we're a corporate bride, we're also an individual bride. And there's got to come a time in everybody's life. And sometimes I understand you, some of you guys are really busy and gals are really busy, and you haven't got time every day just to go and be quiet or whatever. But you know what? You need to make some time. Because if you never ever were just quiet with your wife, she'd wonder if you ever loved her. And there comes a time in everybody's life where we've got to, yes, I'm saved and I'm part of the bride of Christ, but I want to tell you, He wants to be one-on-one just with me. When I get just quiet, I go park in the car, in the park somewhere, and I just say, Lord, just speak to me. And I turn the radio off, and I don't even open the Bible, and I just turn my face up to Him, and I smell the clean air, and I just say, Lord, speak to my spirit. And I just open my heart to You, and I just open my heart to Your spirit. Do you see what I'm saying? We live in such a busy rat race life. But there's times when there's got to be a drawing aside, a coming away, where it's just you and Him. And I know sometimes, you know, if you've got small children around and you can't even go to the bathroom and they're hanging on your skirt or something. But there comes a time when you say, kids, go and play. Mommy wants to talk to Jesus for a little bit. And you teach your kids from a young age. I mean, I did. I taught my kids from a young age. You sit there and you be quiet until the clock goes up here like this. Then you can talk again. But Mommy wants to hear Jesus. And I want to speak to Him and I want Him to speak to me. You see what I'm doing here? We've taken you. I've taken you just step by step by step every night. But I'm taking you a little bit deeper tonight. Because He wants to take you deeper. He wants to take you to the cliff of the rock. Where He just sees your face. And He just hears your voice. And He just sees your form. And it's just you and Him together. And He expresses His love to you. And you express your love back to Him. You see, some of us, I told you the story of my mom. How she really was, she'd often say this. She said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ride on Dad's coattails. We're going to go flying around heaven. And I'm going to be holding on to Dad's coattails. And you know what? I fear that some of you here tonight might be saying, well, yes, I know I'm saved, but my husband's really the spiritual one. And you're kind of leaning on him, and you're just right in his shadow, and you're gleaning from him. But I want to tell you, wife, I want to tell you, lady, it's got to be a one-on-one intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do it on your husband's coattails. Husband, you can't do it on your wife's coattails. You can't do it on your parents' coattails. It's one-on-one with you and him alone. That's the one thing the Lord told me about it. He said, if you want to be intimate with me, the first thing you've got to know is that you've got to come alone. Do you remember Ruth? She left mother, father, land, culture, everything she was even familiar with. And she went alone, all on her own, with her Naomi to a foreign land. And she met her Boaz. Do you remember Rachel? Was it Rachel? Isaac's wife? Rachel? I love the story of Rachel. Oh, it's such a picture of the bride. Eliezer, Isaac's servant, comes to this land looking for a bride for his master's son. And Eliezer comes to the well and he says, oh God, let me have favor in your sight. If the girl that comes to draw water from the well will not only give me a drink, but also give my camel to drink, which has had to be about 30 gallons of water. I mean, she had to be a good stropping woman. But then I would know it's a sign from you that this is the one. And there comes Rachel, and she draws water for him, and she draws water for the camels. And he gives her a nose ring and some bangles and all this gold. And she invites him home. And you remember the story. She takes him home, and she tells her father and her brother, this is what this man has just given me. And she gives him a wonderful feast. And Eliezer said, if it pleases you, let's go. Let me take you to my husband, to my servant's son, Isaac. And remember, the mother and the father and the brother said, no, hold on, let's keep her here another night. And Eliezer turns to Rachel and he says, do you want to go? Rebecca. Do you want to go? She says, I will go. And you know, she left all on her own. She left mom, dad, brother, sister, everything that she knew, went with a strange man to meet a husband. Remember Esther? Left her culture, left the Jewish tradition, sent to the kingdom for such a time as this. I want to tell you, all three of those girls were brides. But they had to leave everything they knew. They had to leave everything they knew. They came all on their own. They came with nothing. They come naked. In fact, the word says, if you want to worship me, you have to worship me in spirit and in truthfulness. The Lord said, if you really want to be intimate with me, you've got to be able to put everything out there. Everything. Lord, I've got a bad temper. Father, I'm asking you to touch it. Take it away. Lord, I've got these thoughts that run through my mind. I've got this thing. I've got that thing. I mean, everything. Lord, my past. You know that thing I've never, ever spoken about? That happened when I was 13 years old. Lord, I'm asking you to shine the light of your glory on that situation. Do you see what I'm saying? It's bringing every little thing before the Father and worshiping Him in truthfulness, taking off the masks, taking off the religious masks. You see, when we come to church so often, we put on these religious masks. You know, we clap and we do the little charismatic jig, you know, and all this. And everybody thinks we're so spiritual, but I want to tell you something. We've got to take it all off. We're really just one on one with Him. We have to be naked. The next thing the Lord told me is that if you want to be intimate with Him, you've got to be a good receiver. Ephesians chapter 5 says this: He gave Himself for the church, talking about Jesus, to sanctify her, to cleanse her, to present her with no spot or wrinkle, to make her holy, and to make her blameless. You've got to learn to be a good receiver. This revival that is sweeping the whole earth is a yielding revival. It's not what you're doing for Him. It's not, you can't even make the gold appear. You just got to receive it. There's nothing you can do. Well, if I fast enough, if I pray enough, if I read the Bible enough. No. You just got to get yourself in an attitude of receiving and of yielding to that anointing and yielding to the Spirit of God. Yielding. It's a yielding revival. It's a yielding. The next thing the Lord told me was this: that out of that place of intimacy, ministry will flow. Ministry will flow out of my life. It'll be unconscious. I won't even know. But ministry will flow out of my life. There'll be fruit in my life that'll look just like the one I've been to bed with. If you had to see my kids, and then if you had to see John, and you'll see him tomorrow night, I promise you he'll be here tomorrow night, you will see that my kids look, my son looks just like John. He's built like me, but he looks like John. He's tall, he's 6 foot. John's not 6 foot. But Brad is tall, big. I mean, he looks like John. Tracy looks just like me. In fact, they were so sweet. They thought we were sisters. You know, but you can see who I've been intimate with by the fruit of my womb. My kids look just like me. You see what I'm saying? When you have been intimate with Him, the fruit of your life is going to look just like Him. I'm telling you, this is intimate, deep stuff. And this is stuff some of us need to go home and chew on and think about. Because some of the fruit of our lives don't look anything like Jesus. And we've got to say, well, who have we been intimate with? Why is this coming out of my life? What am I watching? What am I looking on TV? I mean, what is it that I'm putting into my heart? Because what you put in is what's coming out. I heard Peter Lord say, you know, one day he was giving a message and he stood up and he got a banana and he ate the whole banana in front of everybody. And he just stood there. And his whole message was, that banana has now gone into every part of my being. In a week's time, they'll be able to analyze some nail, my fingernail, and there'll be a little bit of that banana in every part of my being. See, whatever you're putting in is coming out. And so you can hardly be surprised when something not good comes out, because you've got to examine, well, what am I putting in? What am I feeding my soul with? What am I feeding my spirit with? What's going into my mind, into my spirit, what's coming out of my mouth? What am I listening to? What's coming into my life? What am I allowing into my home? See, you can examine it by the fruit of your life. Who have you been intimate with? The fruit of your life will show you've been intimate with. Oh, that, I'm telling you, preachers, if there are other preachers there, that'll preach. You could preach on that sucker. And that's a, I'm telling you, that's a big thing. You can preach on that one. And the Word of God's full of it. I'm telling you, that'll preach. Because you see, it's what are we really being intimate? What are we pouring our life into? Are we so worried about our money? Or are we so worried about this? Or are we so worried about that? What are we putting in? What's coming out? What's coming out of your mouth? Anxiety, fears, worry, stress. Well, when lost, you just lie back and park in a parked car and say, Lord, hide me in the cleft of your rock. Let me hear your voice and let come and look at my form. Let me just be quiet in your presence. Come and kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. Lord, I just need a love encounter with you again. See, I really believe the Christian life is really a love affair with Jesus. It's not a whole set of rules and regulations. It's not just getting a ticket to heaven that one day when I die, at least the church will bury me and give me a decent funeral. I'm telling you, the Christian life is a love affair with Him. And I'm falling more and more and more and more in love with Him. You know, when I married John 26 years ago, I loved him. I was like besotted in love. I mean, you know, like you got stars in your eyes. You think the sun shines out of the sky until you've been married for 6 months and you think, my goodness, you kind of wake up, you know, and you think, you're not that perfect after all. He snores when he goes to bed at night, you know. And yeah, whatever, I was thinking of some bad things. I don't always say everything I think, you know, but, you know, he's just not always perfect. And sometimes his feet smell and, you know, and whatever, you know. You know what I'm saying? You just kind of wake up. But, you know, after 26 years, I want to tell you, I love him more today than I ever thought of loving 26 years ago. My daughter got married 7 weeks ago. And I'm telling you, there were stars in the eye. I mean, she just, he's the most, oh, he's such a wonderful man. Mother, I'm so in love. I mean, she's just so in love. And she said to me the other day, she said, you know, Mom, I loved him then, but oh my goodness, I love him so much more now. I said, hold on, Tracy. Just hold on. It's only going to get better. And you see, that's what I think the Christian life should be. A love affair with him. But you see, religion has made it dry and dusty. Where it's like works and it's so hard to please. And really, the people down at the Silver Bullet are having so much more fun than the church. You know, really, they have fun. They do stuff and they laugh and they just have great fun. And we sit in church and we got these long faces and we got the joy of the Lord in our hearts, you know. And who knows where that joy is because we ain't seen it for a long time, you know. When last did you have a good old belly laugh, you know? But we come into church and we got to be so formal and so holy, you know. And the Lord, you see, in the presence of the Lord, guess what? There's fullness of joy. You know, and so it's okay. It's really okay. Did you sleep all right last night? She couldn't sleep. Did you sleep good? She hadn't slept and I just spoke sleep over you. And the Lord just said, well, you see, now that's a gift from the Lord. He gave you sleep last night, didn't he? Thank you, Lord. Sorry. But that's what it's all about. You see, when my husband came in this afternoon, I was a happy camper. I was so happy to see him. I missed him so much. I mean, I love being with you, but I love being with him. You know what I'm saying? I love because our love for each other has grown. I want to tell you that's how it must be. And some of you tonight need the joy of your salvation restored to you again, where you just fall in love with him. You fall in love with the sound of his voice. You fall in love with the sight of his face. You fall in love with the touch of his hand upon your spirit. Some of you have just got so old and dry and crusty. And you think, oh, you know, I mean, it's old. Maybe it's old in your marriage and that's why it's old with the Lord. I don't know. But I'm telling you, the Lord wants to keep it alive. The Christian life must be that of a love affair with him. The Lord said, you just got to be a good receiver. The next thing he told me was this. That from Philippians 3 verse 7 and 8, Paul talking. And he said, I've counted everything as loss. He said, it's going to cost you something. It'll cost you something. I'm just telling you right now, it'll cost you something. When the Lord spoke to me and spoke to me about the anointing, he said, it'll cost you everything, but it'll also give you everything. I'm telling you, I wouldn't trade my life not for all the money in the world. I wouldn't trade for what God's given me to do and how he's blessed me and my relationship with him not for anything in the world. it costs me. I mean, it's not fun being apart from my husband. It's not fun living out of a suitcase. It's not fun. The glamour of flying all across the earth loses its glamour after about 6 hours. There ain't no glamour involved in it. It's hard work. It costs. But it's absolutely glorious. I wouldn't trade it for anything. Not a single thing. And then the last thing the Lord told me was this. It's a choice that I make. You know what? Every one of you tonight, you're going to make that choice.
This is the conclusion of this message. You have been listening to the ministry of John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this and other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com. God bless you, and thank you for listening.